for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday afternoon, December the 28th, 1992. Midwinter family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Get all this stuff set up right here. Well, all of you are kept coming back in this afternoon. Praise the Lord. Amen. This morning, the anointing of the Lord that was here this morning was just wonderful. And it reminded me of Azusa Street and Kansas, and when the latter rain came up and started up in Vancouver. You know how it came? Didn't come just because somebody wanted it. Didn't come just because somebody said something about it. They prayed for it. They didn't get up and go eat. They didn't go to bed. When they walked in the room, if you didn't want to pray, the Spirit of the Lord knocked him on the floor. But he got there because people prayed. They laid on the floor, they were under the benches, all over the altar, and they prayed day and night for I don't know how many days. That's what happened in Kansas, a little Bible school in Kansas, and then moved on to Azusa Street, down to Houston, and then out to Azusa Street. And then when the latter rain came in the late 40s, that's what happened with it. People prayed and interceded. They were more concerned with prayer than they were with eating and sleeping. Now, when we begin to get that desperate again, we'll see God in the midst of these people. We really are playing church. All of you say I'm not. Yes, we really are, all of us. When we really get desperate, I guess that's why God says when His judgments are in the land, men will call on the name of the Lord. Seems like when there's hard times and destitute and all these problems, people really pray. And God hears and answers. God's not interested in your fine house or my fine car. I thank the Lord for what we've got. It's wonderful the Lord gave it. God's interested in us calling on His name, serving Him. And I just appreciate the Spirit, the wonderful presence of the Lord that was in this place, that is in this place. And the Spirit of the Lord moving in our midst. Well, everyone's going to come for a while and teach, and then we're going to do what she's going to teach about, and we expect the Lord to hear and answer and do that which is needed in all of our hearts this afternoon. Come on, Emma.
We had a very good meeting yesterday. We talked about seven men.
What about women?
Nothing wrong with us. If you men would pray harder for us, we'd be better.
We talked about being willful. How many willful here? Bent on having your own way. Well, that's what we talked about. And now we women were getting rid of all of ours. I should just go right on teaching the same thing, shouldn't I? So all the men, Phil thinks that's funny. I don't know if Glenn does or not. Stubborn men and obstinate. Now, we were getting it out of our own selves. Now, we're in here this afternoon to change. How many come in here to be changed? If you didn't, we may as well just quit. We've come in here to be changed. Now, are we like Jesus? How many want to be like Jesus? We sing to be like Jesus. We don't even realize what Jesus was like. Praying all night up in the mountains. Praying for the multitudes. Just no rest. Praying all night, as Glenn said. But we've got to come into more than what we've had. How many think we've got it all right now? We're playing around with the gifts of the Spirit a little bit. but we must get our eyes on Jesus and keep them there, not on a man. Now, there's plenty of men in here that should be doing this afternoon. I should not have to be up here. I only have to obey. When he had the nerve to get up here last yesterday and say I was going to be up here today, I said, well, honey, what in the world? All these preachers here? And they come to hear them, not us, anyway. But that's what we talked about, being headstrong, rebellious, determined to have our own way, refusing to change, just being plain obstinate, headstrong. So we got rid of all that today, didn't we? We ladies. Most of it, somebody said. Now the proof will be, can we walk it out? Can we walk it out? But anyway, I'm not going to dwell on that. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1. Now, we may get back there. Now, we're going to pray for a lot of people here this afternoon, because I know when you come here, you come to be delivered, and that's what we want to happen to you. Now, you're not going to get delivered by being passive. You've got to get serious and forget your dignified, churchy way. This is not a church. And we're going to see what the Holy Spirit will do. Now, he's here. Boy, it's strong up here. It's not so strong back there because there's too much hubbub back here and phones ringing and bad news coming in on the phone. But here, these men really haven't made these preachers. No wonder they can preach an hour and a half or 2 or 3 hours. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He talked about fatherhood this morning, didn't he? The Father of mercies. How many know that we need mercy? What does he say? My mercy is new, what? Every morning. Every morning we can ask for mercy and he'll give us more. He's got lots of mercy. And the God of all comfort. How many need comforting sometimes? I think in this day and age, we all need some comfort. Fourth verse, who comforted us in all our tribulation. How many believe you've had some tribulation in the year 1992? Oh, my. I think it gets worse every year. Well, that's what the Bible says, perilous times are coming. We have no idea what that means. You could look that word up in the dictionary and it'll scare you. Perilous times, in peril. We're not in any peril here today. Nobody's going to come in here and start shooting us. In all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. If you take the phone calls that come in here, if I dwelt on them, I'd be crazy. You couldn't handle it. Only the Lord can handle these troublesome times. I mean, people, just things that's happening. Just yesterday in this town, some man went in and shot 2 women and shot himself. Just murders all around. We've got to know Jesus. And we've got to be full of the Holy Ghost, not just this much. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to fill us right now so we can receive more and more. Holy Spirit, pour down upon us right now, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, pour down upon us, Lord Jesus. Fill us, Lord, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the fire to burn out the dross. Lord, we need you this afternoon. We need you, Lord, to handle all the problems of life, all of the things that come against us every day. Lord, without you, it would be futile. We don't even realize how much we really have in Jesus. I think about so many people who don't have Jesus and all the troubles that they call me about. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God, for as the suffering of Christ abounds in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Paul was writing this to the Corinthian church, and he did a lot of suffering. which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. How many have been pressed out of measure lately? Heavy stuff coming against us. Above our strength, insomuch that we despaired even of our life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You know, when we came here, Glenn had the vision. I didn't, and I remind him about that every once in a while when he says, oh, it's so-and-so. I said, it's your vision. You handle it. I'm just the helper. I'll pray. He had the vision to come here. And we were affluent people in California. And it isn't easy to bring $150,000 and slap it down that you've worked so hard for, and you're already 50-some years old. That's not easy. It wasn't easy for me because I worked hard for that money, and we saved it so we could retire when we were 50 or 55. You see, God requires a lot of things, and he works us over, and he knows exactly how to work us over. How many believe God knows all about us? He knows exactly what we need. We came here, and everybody loved us. We went to all the full gospel conventions. We had sold a big publication house and had lots of money to fool around with and travel. And everybody loved us, and I ran the book table and Glenn did the tapes at the full gospel businessmen's conventions, and we went all over, even overseas. And we just were having a merry time until Glenn had that vision. I don't know if any of you women have ever gone through that or not, but a man comes and he said, I had this vision. There's a river running down through the property, and there's a lot of green trees, and he goes all into all this, you know. And he said, the thing that bothered me the worst, he said, we won't always be living in California. Now, I love Southern California. I grew up in Illinois and Northern Missouri, and I didn't like the weather there, but I love Southern California. And I liked my job. Way back in the early 60s, we were each making $1,000 a week. And boy, you come down to a place like this that was a wilderness. There was nothing here but brush and trees. And you have to pray in every bite of food you have. There's some tribulation connected with that. But you know, the Lord is faithful. If we don't keep our eyes on Jesus and learn how faithful he can really be when we call on him, we're going to be in troublesome times. Well, my parents moved here, and our daughter and her husband, three children, moved here, and they moved here first before we left. We bought the place, and 2 years later, we moved here. I was hoping it would last longer than 2 years, that we wouldn't have to come, but we moved here. And everything was lovely. We came in April. And about sometime around August, end of August, we had lived in our Winnebago all summer, and it was so hot, and the heat was so bad, and the humidity, and I'd go around and say, I can't stand this humidity, and it was just horrible. And we had our first deliverance service, and a man named Brother Williams came, and we didn't know very much about deliverance. We were getting quite a bit ourselves, and we needed it, and we still need more. But everything was just lovely, and our family, and we'd get out under those trees up there, and our daughter would play the accordion. My dad would preach, and we just enjoyed us ourselves, all spirit-filled, the whole family. First deliverance service we had, my parents came, knocked on that door up there at that trailer early in the morning, and I went to the door, and I said, well, come in, what's the matter? And they said, we'll have no more meetings like that in this place again. There's no Christian that can't have a demon. And I said, well, I don't understand. I said, what's the matter with you? And they walked in the house, said, come on in here. They walked in, they said to me, sit down. I sat down. They said, now, what we need to do, see, he'd been an Assembly of God preacher for years, and there's nothing wrong with Assemblies of God, But that wasn't what the Lord called us to do. He said, you're going to build a nice Assembly of God church down here, and we'll put a big cross on the top that says Jesus saves, and you're going to have to change no more of those kind of meetings. Well, Glenn just sat there. You know, men have a way of just keeping quiet the wrong time. He just sat there and he didn't say anything. And they said, now you either make up your mind, we're going to move, or you're going to have to change. I said, we're not going to change. We're going to keep having deliverance meetings. That's what the Lord's called us to do. And I said to my dad, you know the scripture. You stand the profession for which you're called. And my mother was sort of the ringleader. Now, she had been to a fortune teller, and that was her big problem. But you see, I didn't know that it was so bad. Now I know how bad it is to be a fortune teller. There's a witch in there that talks, speaks out when they don't like something. And my mother was sort of the ringleader. And I just said, well, we're not going to change. We're going to keep having these meetings. That's why. I said, why would we give our good jobs up and spend all of our money here buying this land? And so they said, all right. They stomped out and went down here to Prescott and bought a house. And come back and said, we're moving. Told our daughter and her husband and three children, get out of here. You're going to have to get out of here. This is not right. Boy, talk about needing comfort. We needed comfort. But you know, when you're called to something, you either do it or forget it. And I would tell my dad, I said, I don't know what's the matter with you. You know, the enemy has ways of getting into Christians. I don't care if they have been filled with the Spirit 50 years. How many believe? How many believe? We've all got things in us that's got to come out. It's got to come out of us. And we're not playing church here this afternoon. But how much compassion do we really have on people? I didn't have any compassion when I come here. I really didn't. I might have thought I did. But I didn't have any compassion until people begin to call and come for help. Now, you either pray for them and do what you're supposed to do or forget it. So we began to pray for people. And they came. They came. We had the double-wide mobile, and we'd have meetings up there. We didn't have any building here at all. This was all just trees and shrubs and wilderness. But we began to pray. And we had our first camp meeting up there in our White House. I think it was that fall, wasn't it, after we moved here around Christmas time, 1965. 1965? 1975? Is that when we moved here? Oh, yeah. I guess we did. I didn't even want to remember how. I didn't even want to remember moving cross country. It took us from November till February to move everything here. We had so much stuff. We moved the machine shop. We moved all of our furniture. Oh, it was an ordeal. But you know, we just kept keeping on. That's what we got to do. Keep keeping on and keeping on. But what I want to talk about in Virium today is how much compassion do we have for people that have problems. Now, if I hadn't had to go through, see, I never ever dreamed that our own family would come against us. I never dreamed that at all. And I was just totally astounded to think that my own mother and dad and our daughter and her husband, they all moved away within 3 days after they came up. What would have happened if we'd have said, oh, we'll stop? None of you would be here today, would we? No, and we probably would be dead. If you don't obey the Lord, you're going to get into terrible trouble. And we gave them up. We just gave them up. So we had given up houses and lands and family and friends. Our friends in California said, what in the world? Our secretary that we'd had so long, she said, what in the world are you people doing back there? And Glenn would tell her that there's pigs and chickens under the house and wash machines on the front porch. She'd say, Glenn, why would you move Irma into a place like that? Especially Prissy Irma. Well, I endured this. I suffered. But you know, every time we'd pray for somebody, I'd be really happy because I'd see the change. And we had so many people coming here for prayer. It's a good thing that we were a lot younger than what we are now, because it was night and day prayer. I tell you, prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. And of course you don't want to touch the unlovely. Well, I didn't, but you have to. And you think, oh, Lord, that's an awful case. How can we help those people? But you know, when we begin to pray and pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes down and begins to help people. Now, of course, when we started having the first camp meetings in, my parents moved down to Prescott. About 6 weeks later, we get a call. My mother, why don't you come to see me? There's nobody down here to talk to. Your dad goes uptown and talks up in front of a grocery store on a bench and sits up there and talks, and here I am out here all alone. So we went to visit him, and we started to go. But she never did. She went to her deathbed. She went to her death, never ever believing a Christian could have an evil spirit in him. Never. But my dad relented. He used to think it's all right for those who need it. But then he found out that he needed it too. We all need it. We all need it. There's drug addicts that came that were marvelously delivered. There were drunkards, drinkers, that were marvelously delivered. You think that doesn't make me happy? There was whole families that came. We had meetings up there in that double wide. And we had a bookstore downtown, which I had to run. That was our office downtown. And there'd be people every night to pray. And that first summer, I had 17 people to cook for. Every night, I'd come home, and there'd be, what a mess, in the kitchen, because the people that were around here working on the grounds, these grounds didn't look like they do today. There was nothing but weeds and brush and trees and holes. And swamps and wild animals. And you know, the Lord knows exactly how to deal with you. He knows how to deal with you. And if I had not have suffered, I wouldn't have given you all the time of day for any of your problems, really. I wouldn't have. You could have called me up and told me, you know, well, my husband's going to leave me. Or my kids won't mind. My kids went out and got drunk and they're on drugs. And I would say to them, why didn't you raise them right? Oh, did I have to eat those words? We raised ours right, but they didn't turn out so good after we came here. I mean, the enemy, if he can't get to you, he's going to get to your kids. If he can, we have to keep praying over them. See, we never dreamed that Satan would ever fight us. We thought we were so spiritual and so in the will of God, and we were in the will of God. I don't know how spiritual we were. Brother Tromley's laughing, but everybody thinks they're spiritual, you know, when they're called of God and everything. Oh, my, it was just wonderful. but that wonderful didn't last too long. Wonderful. It's still wonderful. And we brought a boy with us from California. His name was Kevin. He'd been with us. He'd been a drug addict since he's 13, and he had come when he's 17, and I felt like we raised him. And he would just, you didn't know what, from one day to the next, what he was going to do. Well, I had never, you know, our children were already married and were not on drugs, and I didn't know anything about drug addicts. But he would just blow my mind, as they would say, by the things he did. But, you know, we kept praying. And he begged to move here. He'd say, you won't take me to Arkansas, will you? I said, well, we might. But he turned out to be such a wonderful prayer warrior. Oh, such a wonderful prayer warrior. And we saw him married, and he used to teach, and they've moved to Sacramento now to be with his family. But anyway, the Lord is going to change all of you this afternoon if you want to be. If there's drug addicts in here, if there's sipping saints in here, you got no business doing that. Sipping saints, that's what I said, sipping saints. You don't need that little wine for your stomach's sake. You need the new wine. Oh, I'm a stickler. I grew up in early Pentecost, where the little girls had to wear long socks in the summertime, and you had to have long hair with a knot on the back of your hair. So I know what fanaticism is like, and I hated it. And boy, did I need deliverance from rebellion, but I didn't know I had rebellion. You know, I minded my parents. I can say that I always minded my parents, but oh, down inside, that rebellion worked. And it was working. I always went to church, and I did what they told me. I had an older brother, and he rebelled at everything and gave my parents a lot of pain. But you know, I don't care how good we think we are. We still need more of the Lord. And we still need refillings of the Holy Spirit. And we still need to pray one for another that we might be healed. And we still need to be compassionate for those who just can hardly make it. They just can hardly live a Christian life. How many feel you've got all the compassion you need? You ready? I think we all just ask the Lord right now to give us compassion, His compassion, His compassion. Let it rise up in us, Lord. Lord Jesus, You're in us, but we need Your compassion for this troubled world, for the saints that are so troubled and in so much forces of evil coming against them. Lord Jesus, we just need comfort and consolation in Your Word. We need to read Your Word and absorb it into us and walk in it like You tell us to walk in it and obey You like You tell us to obey. Lord, we hate our willful nature. We hate that willful nature. Lord, we need to learn to say, not my will, but Thine be done. And Lord, this afternoon, we just say, not my will, but Thine be done. Not my will, Lord, but Thine be done. I'll never forget the first deliverance service I ever saw. Lord, that just scared me. I was trembling. Being a supervisor at Lockheed and all the big companies, RCA, I fought with engineers. I could stand up and fight with any of them because they'd bring work into the typing pool and it would be unreadable with equations and everything. And I was never afraid of men. I could stand up to them when I knew I was right. But I'm telling you, when Derek Prince preached that sermon about deliverance and people having demons, I trembled from head to foot. Just trembled. And I thought, well, I'm not scared of him. What's the matter with me? I didn't know the Bible said the demon spirit didn't tremble. Did you know it said that? And I had them in me so bad. I don't care if I am a preacher's daughter. That don't cut any ice. These evil spirits come into preacher's kids worse than they do the deacon's kids. Really? But even though I wasn't out in deep sin or anything, I still, these things were in me. I'll never forget. I would want deliverance, but I was afraid of Derek Prince. I didn't want to go near him. I would try to get a headache so I didn't have to go to his meetings. But I wanted to be helped, but I didn't want to be helped in the congregation of the righteous. I wanted to be helped in privacy. How many like private prayer? Sure, we all do, because it's our pride. Anyway, somebody came to Southern California, and our neighbor girl came over and told me. She said, will you go tonight? There's a preacher downtown Los Angeles. Will you go with me tonight? And I said, no, I don't want to go. She said, well, I have to go way down. It was way down on, was it Figueroa Street or something? Then it was terrible, down in the awful part of town. And it was the Wyatt's old hotel, which I used to call the Rat Hole Hotel. I was too proud to really go there. I didn't go, but she came back the next day and she said, oh, Emma, you got to go. You just got to go and see this preacher. That fear, I shook from head to foot because he went into the audience and cast out spirits and frightened my demons. And he had a 7-week meeting, and every night Glenn would have to take. So if I could get a headache or something, I didn't have to go. Otherwise, he'd make me go, and I would have to get up early the next morning and go to work in Hollywood from the valley, so it was quite a drive. But anyway, I went 7 weeks, and I would never go up for prayer, but I wanted to. How many ever want to go up, want to be different, but you don't want to go up for prayer? Sure. So this man of God, meetings closed, and he came to call me. He said, there's a few couples, 5 couples that's been coming to this meeting, And the Lord has told me to go to their houses and pray, and you are one of the couples. Could I come to your house to pray for you? I said, oh, sure. That's wonderful. That is wonderful. And I got prepared. I mean, his meetings were so different from the pious church I'd been in. And so I got all prepared. I brought in my clothes basket. I put paper towels in it. I had visions of heaving up everything. And people would fall with the mouth and do all kinds of things in his meetings. And that was, I knew it was real, but I didn't even want it at the meeting. I don't mind it at my house. So I got all ready, and he walked in, and he began to laugh. He said, you're ready? I said, yes, I'm ready. He started to pray for me. He named off about 25 demons that I had that were horrible things that I didn't even know. And I thought I was going to vomit them all up, and I didn't vomit once. It was like a big rushing wind came out of me from so deep and just poured out of me. And I began to pray in the Spirit, and I was changed just overnight. I got rid of that fear. I got rid of all kinds of other bad things. And then I wanted everybody to be delivered. So I'd tell them, you need to go down there and get prayed for. No, I don't have any demons. Everything's under the blood. Well, if you don't know how else to argue, I guess you can argue about everything's under the blood. And I'd say, but you do. I have to live with you. How many wives here know what I'm talking about? Oh, no, he said. I've been in church. I've been to Bible school. Everything's under the blood. I said, well, I don't care. I don't care. I know you've got them. And then I would really pronounce this curse on him. It's going to happen right in the middle of the congregation of the righteous. I said, God's going to get you. And oh, it happened. Right in the middle. Wait a minute, is that true? Boy, you needed to. I mean, talk about obstinate and stubborn, and he would never obey me. He would act like he was obeying me, and then he'd go and do it. This is the thing I begged him not to do. I'm telling you, he was right down in front, writhing around like a serpent. Now, I don't want to scare any of you, but these things are very real when you're living with a stubborn Dutchman and Englishman. And I'm Irish and English and German, so, you know, boy, we had it back and forth. And I'm telling you, that was the happiest day of our life when we come into something. You know, you can be Christian for years. We've been a Christian since we were little kids, 10 years old. Here we were, what, 50 years old or something? I don't know how old we were. You'd have to add up. Subtract or something. But I mean, I was so tired of the same church services. You know, go in and sing three songs, stand on the last verse, take up the offering, ask for prayer requests, all unspoken, put up your hands. Preacher would preach, and he'd have us up around the altar on Sunday night to pray, and we were confessing our sins, but you know, it takes a little more. You can't pet Satan. You've got to cast him out. You've got to cast him out. Well, he didn't know to do that, or I don't know. I don't think he knew to do that. It wasn't in that era of time. I'm telling you, we're coming into the days where we've got to learn how to come against the enemy and how to defeat him. Otherwise, we'll go around and like as if we're defeated all the time. How many do feel defeated today? And many said, put up your hands. That's right. You feel defeated. But we don't want to be defeated. So we're going to pray. And really, really, I do have compassion for all of you. I really want all of you to be delivered before you leave here. That's why we're here. That's why the Lord called us here, so that you can be helped. And while a lot of times we get delivered right along with the people that's getting delivered to, you know, we don't have to stop and prop them up ourselves. Where's Dr. Noel right now? They're already starting to come out. Well, you know, you have to laugh. You have to laugh or you'd really lose your senses. You really would. We've had so many deliverances ourselves, and the more you get delivered, the more authority you have. We need authority over the evil powers. He knows when we're afraid of him. He knows when we're not straight with the Lord. He knows. He's no dummy. He's been around for a long time. He was in heaven before he fell. So he knows all about us. Now, you don't have to be scared of him, but he's out to get us all if he can. But Jesus, he died for us. He bore all these things for us. And he says, you go. Last thing he said almost on earth when he was here, you go cast out demons, didn't he, in the last chapter of Mark? You go do it. You go heal the sick. Well, I think most churches, few churches, can handle healing the sick. But casting out the demons, no. No. But I'm telling you this afternoon, I want to pray for you about various things. Well, I don't know if we should take up stubbornness or not. Maybe that would be good. For the men, now the women were upstairs. Every woman that was upstairs is already different. But I'm going to get my book out here, and we're going to go over a few things, and then we're going to see. I can find it. We're going to see how willful we are, how we all went our own way, how we don't have any compassion for anybody else. We just want our own little world. Don't bother me. I won't bother you. That type of thing. We have to change. Come on, it's in here. I'm going to find it. All right, this is what willfulness means. Bent on having your own way. Does that say anything? Stubborn and obstinate. You hear that, friend? Intentional and deliberate as even willful murder. Well, you know, we've never done that, but we might have thought it. Perverseness and self-will. Headstrong. Oh, boy. Headstrong. I tried to talk him out of this vision of moving here for so long. Didn't do a bit of good. Just being plain rebellious. And determined to have our own way. Having our own opinion, and in spite of any reason, we just keep to our own opinion. That's being obstinate and willful. I know Brother Williams used to say to me, Irma, you're so willful. I said, well, I don't know why I'm willful. He said, well, you're willful. You need to pray. I said, well, you pray. So he prayed for me, and he'd get awful things out of me that I didn't know I had. You know, our hearts are so desperately wicked, God says, who can know? Only the Holy Spirit. Refusing to change. You know, some people will say, well, I'll never change. I learned in Bible school, I learned so-and-so in Bible school, and I'll never change. That's a terrible attitude. We've got to learn to yield, whether we want to or not. Being very impetuous. Boy, I was impetuous all the time. Perverseness is part of willfulness. So we're going to pray about that right now and see what the Holy Spirit will do. How many really want to get rid of those kind of spirits? How many? Let's see. Anybody feels they need to be delivered from willfulness? Being obstinate. See, Jesus, he said, not my will, but thine be done. You think he wanted to go to the cross and suffer? None of us want to suffer a bit. You know, if my dishwasher's on the blink, I think the tribulation has hit us. I really do. And I'm telling you, we're spoiled Christians. You know, we don't want to pray. We'll call up the preacher. We'll call up everybody. Pray for us. You got to learn to pray for yourself. Glenn and I didn't know how to pray for ourselves. When any trouble would come, we'd call my parents. We'd even send the money to come out to California to pray if we had a problem. We had no idea how to pray. We knew how to pray, but how to pray over these obstacles. And I'm telling you, this place has taught us quite a bit. We have a lot more to learn. But we're going to come against this willful, non-compassionate spirit that we could care less for anybody else except ourselves, our self-will, wanting our own way all the time. And we're going to ask the Lord to just come in here this afternoon and pull those spirits out of us that cause us to be like that. Who knows? Some of you may get a call like he did, like Glenn did, a call to do something for the Lord. And if you just keep saying no, that'll put you in the rank of obstinate and stubborn. That's right. You obey her, you won't have any trouble. Oh, excuse me. All right, we're going to pray. You pray after me. Pray for Glenn, too. Dear Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We want you to change us this afternoon. Lord, we admit we have been willful. We've been stubborn. We've been obstinate. We haven't been compassionate for others' troubles. Lord, there's so much that we need to confess as sin. And Lord Jesus, we ask you to send the Holy Spirit to turn the light on us and let us see really how willful we are. Not reading the Bible enough. Watching too much TV. Reading other things. Reading books instead of your word. Lord, we haven't done what we're supposed to do. But this afternoon, we need help. And your word says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Lord, we lift these sins up before you. And we ask you to send your precious blood to come down and cleanse us and wash us and change us. We hate being stubborn. We hate being rebellious. We hate being obstinate. We say, not my will, but thine be done. Lord Jesus, we're calling on you because your word says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. We're calling on you now, Lord, to deliver us from all these evil things that lurk in our hidden heart that only you can see. And Holy Spirit, just come down with your glory and show us our needs and how we need to change. And just allow the Holy Spirit just to apply the blood, the precious blood, to these sins of being non-compassionate. Just allow the Lord to just do a deep, deep cleansing this afternoon. Of being obstinate and stubborn, that we can say, your will, Lord, not my will, Lord, but your will. We submit to the Lord tonight, this afternoon. We submit to God. We resist the devil, and he has to flee. This afternoon, we're submitting to you, Jesus. We're submitting to your precious blood to cleanse us. And Lord, we're asking you to deliver us. Just allow the blood to just flow down over you and over your subconscious mind and the Holy Spirit to just really penetrate these sins that lurk in us, hidden sins. We thank you, Jesus. We praise 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 you, Jesus. I'm going to ask Glenn to come, and we're going to command these stubborn, willful ways and spirits to get out of us. In Jesus' name. And you sit there and allow the anointing of the Lord. The anointing destroys the yoke. Just sit there and evil spirits, the reason they call it deliverance, if you women know all about what I'm saying, they always tell you to bear down. There's an entity in there that has to come out when you're having a baby. Well, Jesus said, cast out. Cast out in the dictionary means to give a deep breath, even to vomit, it says sometimes, and breathe out. And we're going to get rid of these evil powers of stubbornness. Is that all right? Is everybody with me here? Okay.
Father, I come in the name of Jesus and take authority over every spirit related to this and others as well. I bind them this afternoon in the name of the Lord. I take authority in Jesus' name and I bind these spirits in Jesus' name and I take authority over you and command you to come out of these people and come out of every one of us, myself included. Father, I take authority over a spirit of rebellion,
yes,
over stubbornness, and command these spirits to come out in Jesus' name. Willfulness, spirit of willfulness,
obstinate,
spirit of rebellion, spirit
Well, just plain.
Well, anyway, in the name of Jesus, you come out.
Rebellion.
Spirits of rebellion.
Rebellion.
Come out.
Witchcraft,
the Bible
says. Same as witchcraft. Come on out in Jesus'
name.
Breathe them out. Let them go in Jesus' name. Let them go. Hate them. Hate them. That's right. Hate them in Jesus' name.
Spirit of rejection.
Rejection.
Come out.
Yes. Addictions. All addictions.
Addictions.
Addictions to tobacco. Addiction to drinking.
I bind and break your powers.
Addiction to swearing. Addiction to pornography. Command all these spirits to go in Jesus' name.
Come on. Come on. I bind and break your dominion
in the name of Jesus. Leave in the name of Jesus.
Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out.
Let them go. Let them go. Hate them. Cough them up. Breathe them out. Breathe them out in Jesus' name. Breathe them out in Jesus' name. Breathe them out. Hate them. Hate them.
The spirits of drugs and
alcohol. This won't last very long, and you'll be all the better.
We're going to deal with a whole mess here this afternoon.
Yes.
Spirits of drugs, spirits of alcohol.
Yes.
I bind your power and break your dominion
in
Jesus'
name.
Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord. Come out. Come on, all the spirits of rebellion. Spirits
rebellion.
Of rejection.
Witchcraft.
Spirits of rebellion. Come out in Jesus' name. I come against the powers of the occult. Powers of the occult. Witchcraft in Jesus' name. Spirits of I bind and break your assignment in the name of Jesus. I come against the alcohol, drugs and addiction,
and
tobacco.
Yes.
I come against you and I break your assignment in Jesus' name. Come out.
Come out of these people.
Come out in Jesus' name. Loose them. Come on out. I bind you and break your dominion in Jesus'
name.
Come out in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of the occult. I break the curses of the occult over the family line back for 10 generations. I break the powers of the occult over us, the spirits of witchcraft and rebellion. It is written that rebellion is as witchcraft, and I break the curse of it over us in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on, I loose it in the name of Jesus.
Come on out.
Break
fear.
Your dominion over these
come
people.
Come out, fear, in Jesus' name.
Over every one of us, in Jesus'
spirit
name.
Spirit of fear, come out, in Jesus' name.
I come against a spirit of fear. Fear, I bind you and break your dominion over us in Jesus' name. A fear of the dark, a fear of traveling, a fear of being left alone. I come against all types of fear.
Spirits
of fear, I bind your power and break your assignment over these people in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Come out in the name of Jesus.
Out.
Loose them. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on. I come back and I take authority in the name of the Lord Jesus over the spirit of drugs and alcohol. Spirit of drugs and spirit of alcohol.
Yes.
I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. I bind your power and break your assignment over God's people. We will be free. We will be free. We will walk in robes of white. Satan, I adjure you, we will walk in robes of white in Jesus' name. I break the curses of it over us in the name of the Lord. Loose us. Come out in Jesus' name.
In the generations, in our bloodline.
I go back in the ancestral bloodline. And take authority over the curse of alcohol. I take authority over the curse of rebellion. I take authority over the curse of witchcraft and sorcery in Jesus' name. You spirits of witchcraft, the occult, I break the powers of the occult in the family line in Jesus' name. The spirit that comes in and tells people that it's of God and they talk to them. I take authority over the voices that talk to them that's not of God, that's the occult. I break the powers of the occult in Jesus' name. I loose this from it in the name of the Lord. You spirits of the occult, you spirits of the familiar spirit that talks to people and tells them that it's God, that's the Holy Spirit, you false spirit of the Holy Ghost, I bind you and break your assignment in Jesus' name. I loose us from it in the name of the Lord, in Jesus' name.
Spirit
I break
of divorce.
The dominion.
Spirit of divorce.
Yes, but comes down the family line from the occult. Spirit of the occult, divorce that's come down the family line that, and breaks up the family. The spirit of the occult that brings up the family. Divorce. I bind the powers and break the assignment of divorce over every one of us here today.
Yes.
You spirits of divorce,
you spirits of divorce
have caused problems in the household already, I bind you and break your assignment off of the family line. I loose the children and the grandchildren from you in Jesus' name. I cause you to come to naught. I break the assignment of it in the name of Jesus. And I loose us from it in Jesus' name. I come against the ancestral powers that have come down the family line from the old country, from Europe. I come against the powers of witchcraft and fortune telling. I come against that's known as the witchcraft of the Black Forest. I come against the powers of the Black Forest from Eastern Europe. I break the powers of it in Jesus' name that we've inherited in our family lines. I break the dominion of it. I loose us from it in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord in Jesus. I come against adultery and fornication. I come against the incest, the curse of incest. I break the powers of it over us. Loose us in Jesus' name.
All
I go back
sin.
For 10 generations in the family line. Break the powers of incest in the family line that's visited down through the family. Use foul spirits of abortion. I bind your power and break your assignment in Jesus' name.
Murder.
Spirit of abortion and murder. I break your power in Jesus' name. Wanting my own way.
Yes.
Wanting the spirit of pleasure. Wanting my own way. Spirit of abortion. I break that powers over these people in Jesus' name. I break the curse of it. The curse of it that's in the land. The curse that's in the land. I break that power in Jesus' name. Rebellion. Spirit of rebellion against the Word of God. Spirit of rebellion against the Word of God. I can do what I want to do. Nobody can tell me what I have to do. I'll do what I want to do. I break that dominion and I loose us from it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
You controlling power, you controlling spirit, I bind you and break your assignment in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord. I've loosed these people. I loose us from it in Jesus' name. Come out. Spirit, a spirit of rage. Spirit of rage and anger.
Yes.
Anger and rage.
Violence.
Violence. I come against you in the name of Jesus. Rage and anger. Strong drink. The scripture says that strong drink brings rage and anger. I come against the rage and anger, strong drink. And we've inherited in Jesus' name. I break the dominion of it over us. I loose us from it in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. I come against fornication. Spirit of fornication. I bind your power and break your assignment over God's people in Jesus' name. Spirit of adultery, you spirit of adultery that's rampant in the household of faith, I bind you and break your dominion over the household of faith. I come against your spirit of adultery and fornication. I bind your power, break your assignment over God's people. You're not going to destroy the household of faith in Jesus' name. I bind and break your assignment in the name of the Lord in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses and washes. I thank you, Father, for the blood that washes and cleanses us in Jesus' name.
Yes,
I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for it.
Jesus.
I thank
the
you, Lord.
Jesus.
I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus.
Call them out. Let
praise
them
you, Jesus.
This is
praise
your
you, Jesus.
To change.
Praise
you,
Jesus.
Change.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
I come in the name of the Lord Jesus, for it is written that your word says that you give us authority over all the powers of Satan. You said that you give us authority to cast out the evil spirits, to bind them up and to cast them out. And then this afternoon, we take that authority, and I break your assignment over God's people. I break your assignment. I loose us from your assignment, devil. I bind and break your assignment in Jesus' name. I loose us from the driving spirit. The driving spirits that are in some of us. The driving spirits. I break the assignment of it in Jesus' name. Come out, you driving spirits, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for for deliverance in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you for the blood that washes.
Yes.
The blood of Jesus that cleanses and washes. I apply and I appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus to cleanse and to wash this afternoon. Every area of our lives that needs cleansing, Father. Areas of our lives, hidden things that's hid away.
Nobody
in the
knows.
Recesses of our of yesterday. Father, I come against them in Jesus' name. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash. I apply the blood to the subconscious of our mind, to the things that we've gotten stored up in there since we were born. That's contrary to the word of the Lord. I put the blood to cleanse and to wash the subconscious of our mind. Spirit of recall, I bind your power and break your assignment over us this afternoon.
Recall.
Spirit of recall of things of the past, the tormenting spirit of recall.
Yes.
I bind
yes.
you, you foul devil, you spirit of that torments us with recall of the things of the past. I put the blood of the Lord Jesus there. It's under the blood. It's washed in the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus is Lord over our lives. And I take your rights away, you spirit of recall that causes us to remember things that causes torment in our mind. I erase it this afternoon with the blood of the Lord Jesus. I put the blood of Calvary to erase from our mind that spirit of torment.
Love
you
money.
Torment, you Love spirit of torment, I break your assignment over us in Jesus' name. Spirit of pleasure. Spirit of pleasure that's in the body of Christ. I come against you, foul spirit of pleasure. I bind your power and break your assignment over us. Spirit of pleasure, I release us this afternoon from the spirit of pleasure. I break the bonds of it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Spirit of dissatisfied. Never satisfied. Always unsatisfied. It's the spirit of discontentment.
Yes, discontentment.
I bind your power over God's people. You spirit of discontentment, never satisfied with what we've got, always wanting something else. I bind that power. Spirit of the world, I break the curse of it over us in Jesus'
love
name.
Of the, world.
The love of the world, I
love
break
money.
Your power in Jesus' name.
Love
never satisfied with what we have. Lord, help us to be satisfied. Your word says to be content therewith and that you supply our needs. I break the curse of it over us in Jesus' name. Spirit of discontentment and dissatisfaction. I break the power of it in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of the gypsy. The spirit of the gypsy, the wanderer. I bind. There are those who are never happy any place they are. They're never happy. They always want to be someplace else. You spirit of the gypsy, you spirit of the wanderer, I break your dominion over these people this afternoon.
Right,
you
from church to church.
Of wandering. Yeah, what, never satisfied with the church you're in. Always going to another place. I bind your power and break your assignment in the name of Jesus. You foul spirit of the gypsy, of wandering, never satisfied, I bind your dominion and break your assignment in Jesus' name. Father, help us to be a blessing where we're at. Help us to be a blessing
where
we're at.
Be content
and to be a blessing where we're at. Not discontented, not always finding fault. Spirit of fault finding. I bind you.
And
you foul spirit of
grumbling.
Fault finding in the body of Christ. Always finding fault with everything. I bind your power. You fault-finding spirit, I bind your power. In the name of Jesus.
Grumbling.
In Jesus' name.
Grumbling about the preacher.
I break that dominion in Jesus' name. Father, that's a foul spirit that causes dissension in the body of Christ. And I break that assignment over these people that they'll not be fault-finders and complainers.
Mm-hmm.
I break that assignment this afternoon in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Strife.
Thank you for it, Father. Praise you for it.
Strife in the home.
Thank you for it.
Oh, yes, religious spirits. I am so holy.
Yes, we come against
so
holier than thou. I've got everything I need. I don't need anything else. There's none of us got everything we need. I come against that spirit of holier than thou. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
I break that powers
religious
over us
spirit,
this afternoon.
The strong man of religious spirit.
We break
and
the
tradition.
Powers of
tradition.
The tradition and religious spirit.
Yeah.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are many hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.